Well, good morning and welcome. We're grateful for all of you. We have some visitors. We're glad that you're here. Again, we invite you to stick around for our potluck. It's a great place not only to get fed, but also to meet some good folks. Good to be back with you. We've been gone for a little bit. We're where we ought to be, I hope. Search me, O God. It's title of a song. Title of a beautiful, most meaningful song. And this is going to be kind of a sermon in song a little bit this morning. It's a prayer song. I think its alternate title is Cleanse Me. It's a prayer for realness. It's a prayer for intensity. I need more of that. It's a prayer for cleansing. It's a prayer for a reset, a revival. I need that, don't you? So the task of truly knowing me. You know, I think I know who I am, but sometimes I'm amazed. Sometimes I get feedback that makes me think, maybe you don't know Phil that well. Your song is found in number 784. We'll be there in just a little bit. So if you would open to that one. We're going to sing it one verse at a time. I'll do a little comment. I'm going to set it right now with some scripture and then finish up with some scripture. In the book of Revelation chapter 2, most of us are familiar. The text has a lot to say about Ephesus. It says something about that congregation here. Paul wrote an entire letter to that congregation. To the angel of the church in Ephesus, write. This is the Spirit of Christ talking. The one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, says this. I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men. And you put your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate them. You put to test those who call themselves apostles and are not. You found them to be false. And you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. That's good news. Those are good things about this congregation. But then he says this. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Now that's significant, folks. I hope we're sitting here churning a little bit and thinking. He says, therefore, remember from where you are fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I'm coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. It seems to me that Jesus is saying to a congregation, you need to get this one thing right. You better have your first love. And that's a challenge to me. It's a challenge, well, number one, because I'm getting old. Not that you don't love, but you get tired. And sometimes you kind of get lazy and you just want to sit on a couch. And so we can leave things that are good for a number of reasons. We better not leave this one. The song that we're going to look through today is really from the 139th Psalm. You could go read that entire chapter. We did Wednesday night. Verses 23 and 24 at the end say this. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. That's part of the prayer. The first verse said this, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. And it's for sure that God knows us. Psalms 26 at verse 2, examine me, O Lord, and try me. Test my mind and my heart. We're asking this of the Lord. We'd better be ready to receive it. In Job 23:10, but he knows the way I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And then in 31:6 of Job, let him weigh me with accurate scales and let God know my integrity. We want to be right. We want to be real. In 1 Peter 1 at verse 7, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. There's a trying, there's a proving. And then finally in Romans 5, 3 through 5, and not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations. That, you know, have to work on that one a little bit, don't we? Knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope, and hope doesn't disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit that He's given to us. And so the song, I hope you're at number 784 at this time. We'll do this one verse at a time. We'll stop in between for a little bit. Number 784. I don't want to sing into that microphone.
A prayer requesting that God look into my heart and find out what's there and help me to make it right. I'm reminded that Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make or set you free. And so we seek that in our lives, don't we? We need to do it. I said this is a prayer for intensity. We need to do it more, don't we? We need to set higher goals. We need to be closer in this. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, test yourself to see if you're in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail the test. And so we need to watch what we're doing. Second verse. And then the idea of fill me with fire. How do you feel about that this morning? How are we doing there? I've used the terminology for years. I don't know where I heard it. Fire in the belly. That's intensity, church. How are we doing in our own lives? Is there a certain intensity and urgency and needfulness in our lives as we play out the man of Christ? Or is it just kind of a humdrum melodrama? A mediocre effort? I'm willing to say my life is mixed. Sometimes it's a humdrum, mediocre, wake it up, Phil. It needs reviving, and maybe that's true right now. Maybe it's true of this congregation. I happen to think we need a revival. You know, even if we don't need a revival, we need a revival. We need to do better. We need to desire closeness with helping one another and provoking one another to love and good works. So fill me with fire. Grant my desire to magnify thy name. That's what we're here for. Next verse.
Lord, take my life and make it holy thine. Fill my poor heart with thy grace of divine. Take my will, my passion self and pride. I now surrender, Lord, in thee I.
Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
Amen.
Wow. I hope you can see that verse and what we just sang. Take my life, Lord. I want to be all yours. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with a whole bunch of all. Take my will, my passion, lust, self, and pride. Sometimes we're our own worst enemies, aren't we?
Amen.
We do. We need to defeat this self issue. We need to get past the selfishness that is inherently within us as human beings. Amen. And learn to live free lives for the Lord. With intensity, I'll borrow from another verse there. I now surrender, Lord. Do I mean that? Just words of a song, or do I mean it? The last verse, then.
Oh, Holy Ghost, revival comes from thee. Send a revival, start the work in me.
Say that? Start the revival in me. It's not going to start with anybody else. The old saying, if everybody did what Phil did last year, how much would have got done last year? And you might say, not much. It's just kind of an individual thing. For starters, any revival has to be. It's got to start in every one of our hearts and every one of our lives. And then we bring what's within us, purposed, intensified, surrendered. We bring that person to the collective group. And guess what? We've got the beginnings of kindling in a fire, don't we? And that's what's got to happen. God's Spirit works in us. Don't disconnect God's Spirit with God's Word. That they work together. But surely God is within us.
Amen.
And His Spirit works in us. Surely as it says here, your Word says, you'll supply our need. He will. We have so many places where it says that. Adam mentioned, seek ye first the kingdom of God. This is a seek ye first lesson, folks. It really is. We cannot, if you're looking in your bulletin on the page there, we cannot afford to miss the power that is in this song. You don't know how many times over the years that I've preached that I wish I could do a better job than I do. I wish I had more power to make something a part of not only myself, but of those who hear. And now is one of those times. This is such a marvelously biblical song. It's a prayer, one that I hope you'll keep in mind and, take a picture of it. Put it in your phone. You can do that real easy. Look at it now and then. Pray it. But it's not just the words of a song, and it cannot remain just the words of a song. I somehow need to make it my words and my prayer and my life, and so do you. None of us desires to be mediocre and lukewarm. Revelation letter said that, something about that too, didn't it? We need to be careful and just putting up with enough. We do that, don't we? And there are some days when, you get tired or you didn't sleep well or a lot of things are going wrong when mediocre would be good. Some days we just need to do better and work harder. I must desire a closer walk, a higher walk. I want to be more loving. I want to be closer to God in better relationship. If this song has power, if life has power, and it does, it seems to me that the power is in the restart issue, isn't it? Isn't that a great thing about God's Word and His character? Is that whenever I can muster the sense, maybe through this song, when I can muster the sense to come to a reality moment, He always lays before me the thought that, Phil, you can start all over again. You can start right now, forget all of that, and go that direction. That direction. You can do that. You can restart. You can revive this process one more time because God's there. It's a joyous rebound that springs from true repentance, and we need to do that. Romans 12 at verse 2 says, simply don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is and what is good and acceptable and perfect. This is a song of transforming, of renewing. And we need to do that, and we need to do it continually. If you've got something better than this song, use that. But right now, in my mind, this song is pretty powerful. Let's take a look. If you've got a bulletin on that one page there, about halfway down, I looked at the song and wrote down 10 things that I think are kind of takeaways from it. First of all, there's some discomfort in this process. If I say, search me, O God, cleanse me, figure out and tell me what's within me that needs to go, that's uncomfortable if I'm willing to accept that. It's basically the uncomfort of denying myself, is it not? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Man, that's not easy. A change for the better is implied. That's number two. Number three, a willingness to submit to that change or to make that change is implied. Willingness is a great characteristic. I happen to think, the older I get, I try to settle on, what's the most important thing in my life? Well, it's sure in what I do, although that's important. It just seems to me that what I can offer God purely and simply is my willingness. Okay? I may not take it any farther than that. I may stumble between willingness and submission. I don't intend to, but I might do that. But the willingness to change, the willingness to say, yes, Lord, I will take a step in your direction and try to increase not only myself, but those around me. We want a closer walk with you, a better relationship.
Amen.
Number four, the history of the cleansing is the basis for it all. Wow. He has made us what we are. He has cleansed us in Christ Jesus, the cross issue. That ought to produce. If I understand what God did through grace and mercy in the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus, ought that not to produce some fire in the belly in me about response? How inappropriate to look at what God did in Christ Jesus and say, yeah, that's kind of neat. Well, think about that someday. That's not the demand perspective that's there. It either is, and it's worth my all, or it isn't, and there's not much left in eternity, if that's the option. Number six, praise to the Most High God is there, and it's always due, and it has to start with me. Number seven, God's love in me as opposed to me in me. And there's the problem, isn't it? In me has got to be God and not Phil. And to the extent that Phil pushes out God and his spirit and his information and everything else, to the extent that Phil is there, things aren't going to go well. Life's not going to be that good, and eternity is dangerous. And so number eight, Lord, take my life. Do I really understand that? Right now, today, what that means? Number nine is revival. Start the work in me. And I'll go back to Revelation letter there. Go back and find your first love, Phil. Go back and repent and get to there. Finally, thy word declares thou wilt supply. I'm going to read two passages from Ephesians in a little bit. We'll work it in there. I think these points are critical. You may look at it and come up with a different set, just as valid. We need these individually. We need them collectively, but first individually. I truly believe that it is time for a revival and rescue. I really do. Do I think there's a possibility? Man, I'm looking at it. There is possibility here. Great possibility. Yeah. Will we rise to the occasion? It's time for each of us, I think, to take ownership of this process. Start it in your own heart. Build the fire in the belly and then go help somewhere doing something. Learn this song. Study its biblical background. Let these ideas absorb your heart, soul, and mind. May God's power make us a better people. We conclude with some scripture. first two individual passages, I've already read one of them. I've been crucified with Christ. Paul said that one. In Luke 9:23, Jesus, and he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. 1 Timothy 1:14 through 17, this one from the NIV. The grace of our Lord has poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Write that down, would you? Paul says, of whom I'm the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And then two passages to the collective church, to us as a body. And these come from Ephesians. We've already looked at their need to get back to their first love. These are prayers from Paul, but via the Spirit. Ephesians 1, starting at verse 15. Listen carefully. For this reason, too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you, while making mention of you in my prayers. And here's what he says. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. I told you we'd talk about his power to us. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet, gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Pretty powerful. Quite a prayer for the church, for us. And then in chapter 3, I'm starting at verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name, that he would, here's the prayer, grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled, that's a big word, filled up with, to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, we're talking about God here, according to the power that works within us, to him be glory in the church in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Amen. I close with an illustration. It comes from a book called Holy Sweat, Tim Hansel. A man was very excited about going back to his 40th high school reunion. Never had that problem, but this guy was. The day came to leave, and this guy says, I drove him to the airport with his wife. Their energy was almost contagious. I'll pick you up on Sunday evening, and you can tell me all about it, I said. Have a great time. Sunday evening arrived. As I watched them get off the plane, my friend seemed almost despondent. I almost didn't want to ask, but finally I said, well, how was the reunion? Tim, the man said, it was one of the saddest experiences of my life. Good grief, I said, more than a little surprised. What happened? And he says, it wasn't really what happened, but what happened had not happened. It's been 40 years, and they haven't changed. They had simply gained weight, changed clothes, gotten jobs, but they really hadn't changed. What I experienced was maybe one of the most tragic things I could ever imagine about life. For reasons I can't fully understand, it seems as though some people choose not to change. Can I stop and say, based on what we've said this morning, just a small increment of life, a segment, you're either going to choose to make some changes based on this lesson, or you're just going to go home and do everything all over again. There was a long silence as we walked back to the car. On the drive home, he turned to me and he said, I never, never want that to be said of me, Tim. Life, are you listening? Life is too precious, too sacred, too important. If you ever see me go stagnant like that, I hope you'll give me a swift kick where I need it for the sake of Christ. I hope you will love me enough to challenge me to keep growing. Good place to end, isn't it? We need to challenge each other once in a while. I feel like we, in this age of politeness and political correctness and all the other things that come along, we've lost some accountability to each other.
Amen.
We've become so, I don't want us to get to the point where we're quick draw and shoot each other. But we do need to help each other and encourage one another. And challenge each other once in a while, don't we?
Amen.
And maybe it's time. Maybe it's our time. It could be, couldn't it? I hope you believe that it could be our time. We just have to have a little revival, and it has to start with me. I think what is, in the words of this song, is a pretty good lesson, process, to help us revive not only the self, but also ourselves together in fellowship. If you're not a child of God, wow. What can I say? You need to be. It's the essence of eternity. It's what eternity is all about. God created us. He gave us this great gift of His Son to save us from ourselves, from sin. And we partake of that death and burial and resurrection. We believe, we confess His name, we repent of our sins. We're buried in a watery grave of baptism. Romans 6 says we're planted together in the likeness of His death, that we may also be in the likeness of His resurrection. And they did that in Acts chapter 2. And verse 47 says the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved, and here we sit, the saved.
Amen.
Would you join us? Would you help each other go to heaven? You may be sitting here as a part of a family, and we are exactly that. We know that. We've been around each other long enough. Your family would like to pray for you if you need it. Won't you come as together we stand and sing?
Hear the voice of Jesus saying, come unto me, I am the way. Hearken the loving call, obey. Come, for He loves.